Nancy Pelosi, what she's doing to this country. And she's gone so far left. And Schumer's gone so far left. Oh, I look forward to running against them. We've got to do well in 18, and I know we're going to do great in 20, but I think we're going to do well in 18. I think we're going to do well in 18. I think we're going to do very well. They have gone left. They want to raise your taxes.
The campaign has begun already. Guys, on a constant campaign. I do wonder if he wins in 2020 and he is not running for anything. I guess he'll run Ivanka or something, right? That'll be the thing.
You mean beyond 2020?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know, Senator Durbin, what do you think about that? If he wins in 2020, what? And he can't be on a constant campaign for the next cycle, how does that work? Because it seems no matter where he is or what he's doing, it's about, it's all political. He is politically intoxicated. I think that's the only way to really describe this.
Well, let me tell you, a leader on the Republican side, Senator McConnell, got into serious trouble when he said, we're just dealing to make sure that Obama's a one-term president. So excuse me if I step aside from this question and try to focus on the substance before us instead of the speculation about where it might go. That's your job, and you both do a great job at it.
Yeah. So we have a couple deadlines. Government funding running out Thursday, and also DACA expiring March 5th. So you've got a couple of meaty issues on the table right now. I know a soundbite, an interview actually, that you gave over the weekend was running heavily all day today, saying that you don't anticipate another government shutdown, Senator.
I hope we don't have one. And all we need from Senator McConnell at this point is a clear indication about our path forward. This current short-term spending bill, I think, is the fifth one in this fiscal year, and it, maybe the sixth. I honestly am losing track. We're setting new records for being unable to come up with a budget for the federal government. But be that as it may, what we need from Senator McConnell in the Senate, and I hope from Paul Ryan in the House, some indication, what is the end game here? How does this all come to an end? I don't want to see a shutdown. I want to see us do our job. I certainly want to see us do something because of the president's deadline on the future of these DACA dreamers. I mean, that's something we absolutely have to do. And McConnell promised us that if we didn't reach an agreement this week, and that looks like a stretch, that we might, then we'll start the actual floor debate next week. And we're counting on that as the backstop.
Well, it seems that backstops, everybody talks about backstops, but it doesn't really need the deadline to happen. I mean, you've been in Washington a long time, Senator. It seems that often does come down to last-minute midnight deals.
It might, but keep in mind, human nature prevails. Why do so many people wait till April 15th to file their taxes? Why do you wait until the dentist sends you the third notice about exams? I mean, it really is just human nature that if it's painful and difficult, we put it off. And in this situation, we have a deadline coming. That's a good thing. It plays on human nature to say, okay, enough is enough, do something. The good news is that since the momentary shutdown of a couple weeks ago, there's been really positive bipartisan meetings of senators. I feel good about it, not just because I think we're moving forward to solve this dreamer issue, but because these senators feel empowered. If they can play a positive role in solving this problem, they want to stick together and do more. I've talked to them. I stay out of the meetings because I'm in leadership on the Democratic side, but I've got plenty of friends on both sides that go to these meetings and want to see the Senate get back in business of solving problems without all the squabbling, you know, all the headlines and everything that just waste time.
Okay, so on the Senate side, because you're dealing with people who all run for statewide election, it does, and every 6 years, so it is the more deliberative body, one would argue. On the House side, it was interesting yesterday when you're watching all the analysis on the Sunday morning shows. Anthony Scaramucci was on the ABC show, and he talked about how he likes the way that the president has boxed in Democrats on the issue of DACA, and specifically in the House, because he's offered here, you know, a pathway to citizenship for 1.8 million people that many people in the House of Representatives in his own party are arguing is terrible, terrible, terrible. And yet he's trying to find a way. So if you don't take this deal, but in order to get this deal, you got to give him the wall. You got to give him $25 billion for the wall. You got to give him the
diversity lottery and changes to the family.
All the rest of those things. Mm-hmm. I mean, was this a move that was this a good piece of chess on his part?
Well, I can just tell you to start with, I think it's a hoot that Scaramucci is now a political consultant. How long did he last with this administration?
11 days. 11 days.
11 days. Yeah. And now this man is advising America on
the path. I can only
forward.
Imagine how that sounds.
I know. I get the irony of it, too. He was on with us last week. I get the irony of it, too.
Yep.
But
a hoot. So let me just say this.
But on this issue, it's an interesting one, though, I think, because he does have a. He's going to claim high ground.
Well, let me just ask you and your listeners to imagine this. Imagine if you were undocumented in America. You brought here at the age of two. You grew up here. You went to all the schools and then realized in high school you're not documented. You can't get any money to go to college from the federal government. You really can't get a job. Your future is completely dependent on a new law or something that will give you relief. And along comes someone who says, tell you what, we're going to give you a break, young man, young woman. We're going to make sure that you are legal, maybe even on the path to citizenship. One little thing we want to mention. We're probably going to have to deport your parents. Now, at that point, most people would say that is the deal, and basically that's what it comes down to. This chain migration that the Republicans like to speak of, which I think is an outrageous term, but this chain migration or family unification is an effort by a handful of people, including Steve Miller in the White House, to stop legal immigration. 75% of legal immigration, families getting together finally. Some of them waiting 20 years to finally be together. They want to stop it, cut it in half. It's the most dramatic cut. And here's an interesting sidelight in history. The last time we cut legal immigration in half in America was the 1920s. Do you know who Congress was trying to keep out of America then? Well, it was Jewish people, folks from Eastern Europe and the Baltics, which included my family, and I might say to Mr. Scaramucci, the Italians. Mm-hmm. That was the reason they were going to exclude people. So to go back into that pattern of excluding folks, not allowing families to unify, and that's my price for $1.8 million, you can understand why these young people are not jumping at it.
If you're front and center on these immigration talks, then, Senator, would you say if the family migration part of it is included, that it's a non-starter? This isn't something you could accept or embrace?
We worked out a compromise, which the president rejected, and said, all right, if you won't promise the parents long-term citizenship, at least allow them, if there are no problems, no criminal records, nothing like that, at least allow them to stay and work in this country on a renewable basis so that they can be reviewed every 3 years, whatever it might be. He rejected it. So they weren't going to become citizens. They weren't going to be part of legal immigration for the long haul, but they were going to be protected. Honest to goodness, you ought to sit down and face these dreamers at the point where you say, we think we're moving forward to save you, but not your parents. And imagine the looks on their face. I mean, it really is a horrible thing that they put up as the alternative.
I cannot imagine what it will look like. And I believe that this will not happen until after November. But when they start to do the massive deportations here, I cannot imagine what that.
It is heartbreaking.
What that would look like.
I mean, I wear my heart on my sleeve. I guess I'm a little too emotional sometimes when it comes to this issue. But I bring these young people into my office here. Sometimes they're from different states, and I see them in the gallery and invite them in. And most of them are emotional about their own situation. When I mention their moms and dads, there isn't a dry eye in the room. Every single one of them thinking, for goodness sake, sure, my dad broke the law by bringing me here. Would you do the same thing, Senator, for your son or daughter? And the answer is, you bet I would. And I'd run the risk to make their lives better. And that's why they love them, and that's why they want to protect them, and that's why this presidential deal is a raw deal.
Hmm. All right. Well, there's more to come. Do you have any, by the way, before we let you go, because obviously the big story of the day is the Dow obviously now in negative territory for the better part of the last couple of weeks, is down 1175 today. It's almost at the 10% correction point. Do you have any thoughts on what's happening there?
My staff said, are they going to blame Obama? And I said, no, we're not going to get into that. I would just say this. A president ought to be careful tying his fate to the Dow Jones. It's up one day and down the next. and it doesn't reflect the overall growth in the economy. It sometimes just reflects market volatility. I don't know how long this is going to go. The people that I read say they expect this to go on for several months, this so-called correction. And I hate to see people lose some benefits in terms of their retirement and such, their savings like this, but it is a volatile indicator of our economy, and there's still some unanswered questions in that economy.
All right. Senator, thank you very much. Appreciate
it. Good to talk to you, Ro. Bye,
Senator Dick Durbin. And we've got Judy Pilak now with the WGN News, brought to you by Inspire.